I'd like to read a scripture to you, make a statement and make us clear. Our authority to bind and loose comes from Christ, and it's exercised by faith. I want you to understand that whatever we do by faith. We have to believe God. When we come into the Bible, we open the Bible and we go to read the Bible. We ought to be coming to the Bible and have a little prayer. And that prayer ought to be something like, Lord, as I come into your word, I'm trusting you to speak to me through your word, to give me insight through your word, to teach me through your word, to put faith in my heart by your word. And Jesus said this to his disciples, and that's us. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, I want to talk about binding and loosing. We've talked about it for 2 weeks, and we gave you a preliminary of how it's found in the Old Testament in so many different areas, and how it's found in the New Testament, and how it operated, in other words, how God used his people to bind and to loose, to set people free, bind the evil, and to loose those who have been bound. And as we moved on in our teaching from the book that we're looking at, Binding and Loose, one of the things that we discover is we're seeing all of these things appear in the text, in the Old Testament and New Testament. But the thing is that suddenly the author takes a hiatus. He really doesn't. What he's recognizing as he's about to move us further into exercising our faith to bind and loose. Let me just give you an example. Many years ago, Brother Tom Chamberlain preached the message on being unbound. And he was talking about Lazarus. And you all remember the account. Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. But when Lazarus, after 4 days dead, overcoming decay, overcoming all of this, in fact, his sister's saying, don't open the tomb. He's going to, you know, what does King James say? He's going to stink it. You know, there's going to be a smell there from decay, right? But that comes out. He's overcome that. He's healed that. And yet when he comes out, he says to him, to the people, unbind him. Because he's bound hand and foot coming out from the grave clothes. And there's a sense here with Christians, we don't realize it at times, but we come out of the world, unless you've been raised in a Christian home, and even in a Christian home, raised up in there and coming to Christ in that environment, things happen in your life. There's rejection, there's various things that you encounter in light. It might be not in the home that it takes place, but it could be out of the home. You can't protect everybody from everything. I wish we could. I mean, we have these helicopter moms and they hover over their kids wherever they go. And they can't save them from life. Do you understand that? Life's going to come. There's going to be some times when they grow up and they walk out the door, or they walk out the door to school or wherever it may be, and they encounter something that's unpleasant. And it can impact them. When you take a look at the woman that was bound by an evil spirit that Jesus cast out, 18 years she was bent over double. Remember that? And he called her bound. And he said, should this daughter of Abraham not be loosed on the Sabbath day? And he loosed her. And the spirit went and she stood upright. She was healed. So there's a place here where you have to understand that from our standpoint, God does his work. We believe God. God works his power towards those who believe. And yet we still have an obligation to do our part. We have to do our part in cleaning up people that come to Christ, walk in, and you don't know where they're from, and they come with a bunch of baggage, and they don't come with luggage. Luggage is good. Baggage is bad. What's the difference? Luggage is when you're going away and you're going on a trip. You pack your bags for where you're going. You put in your tennis rackets, your golf balls, or your golf clubs. You take the clothes that you want. You know, wherever you're going, you set it all up. And you have everything that you want, and you go there. Baggage is what's chained on your foot that somebody else packed for you. And you're dragging that around, and that's the stuff that ties you down and binds you. That's got to be broken off. So we here believe what the scripture says. Literally, each and every one of the members of our assembly is a minister of Christ. That's what you're called to be. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many years you've been a Christian. I don't care if you're 5 years old or you're 105. We have to go someplace where it's beyond our ages here, you know, 105, okay? But what I'm saying to you is it doesn't matter. You're still a minister of Christ. You can pray for the sick and they can be healed. You can cast out a demon and it will go if you believe. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Christ comes and dwells in us, Christ in you. We receive Christ, okay? Now, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that's another experience. You might say that empowering that comes. But Christ makes this temple of clay. We're made from the earth. From dust we come, from dust we shall return. He makes this clay into a holy place where he dwells, and his Father and Spirit also dwell. I mean, that's the craziest thing in the world. It's hard to remember that, isn't it? It's that you're not alone, but the Lord is in you. And you might say, as R. A. Tozier said it, in his words, he said, "God may," just a part of his quote here, "God makes us a repository of the nature and the person of the Lord Jesus." God is in us. He shares his very nature with you and with I. Tozier calls it this, Christ in you, the hope of glory, an incomprehensible reality. I guess it's maybe call it that, but it is. People write it as an incomprehensible reality, and it's the biblical foundation upon which Christian comes and authority is conveyed. See, God gives you authority. Now, he works his power towards those he believes, but he gives you authority to exercise what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we know what the will of God is in heaven, we know what we can pray for here on earth, don't we? It's not like, well, what's your will, God? You know, what do you think, God? You think that person that's hungry, you think maybe they need some food or we should feed them? I mean, what, you know, be real. The fact is there's no sickness in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There is a lot going on in heaven. My point being is that thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So we have a foundation because the Lord tells us something about what is going on in it. And besides that, he sent his son down so he could show us what goes on in heaven. He can show us what the Father's will is. Is it the will of the Father that we would be sick? Is it the will of the Father that we've sinned? Is it the will of the Father that we harm someone? No, we know all those things. Jesus came and he did the Spirit of God. He was anointed by the Spirit and he destroyed all the work of the evil one. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I pray that you comprehend what people say is incomprehensible. I'm sorry. I believe that you can begin to understand this and understand that you as a Christian are Christ's servant. Christ is in you. Christ wants to work through you. Christ wants you to have his mind. He wants to see through his eyes, and he wants you to do the work that he has called you to. That's not complicated, but it's hard for us. So you strive. We do the best we can to live as the person Christ made us to be. Assist you in taking hold of all that Christ has for you. We have provided you with, in this church, and if you don't have it, we'll get it for you, a biblical tool with simple instructions that when you use it in faith, it will bring you into the transforming Christ, and Christ will do his work. And as he does his work in you, through you. Now, what is that tool? It's hard. It's nothing complicated. It's pretty simple. You need to get into the scripture. You need to be there. You need to trust God and let God put As I was taught very early on in my Christian walk, very excited about Jesus, just loved him. And this guy just said to me, look, when you read that Bible, Ron, don't read it with the idea of making your experience, how would I say, the Bible's experience come down to your experience, but ask God to bring you into the experience of the Word. Bring you into the experience of the Word. And he will do that. So there's no work that we are called to that is greater than growing in the fruit of the Holy Spirit and in the divine nature. And that's where our author kind of chops off in chapter 9 of that book. Because what's he saying right now? Wait a minute, guys. Understand who you are. Understand what God's called you to do. Understand what you have in Christ. Understand that you're not at the bottom of the barrel. You're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only did the Father save you, he did two things. Read it in Colossians. He took you and translated you from under the power of darkness, under the power of the devil, and he put you into the kingdom of his dear Son. But I go like this. He took you from here and he put you over here. That's wrong. He took you from here and he put you right there with Jesus. Hello. You got that? You see, there's a difference in how you think. So if you think this way and you're down over here, you're always praying up rather than communing with God and carrying out and praying as he's given you prayer to do. So there's no greater blessing than to experience the divine transformation that comes from Christ. I'm absolutely amazed at what God is doing in me. He has not finished with me. I think I got to live another 100 years. Not that I've lived 100 years yet, all right? But I think I live another 100 years to get, what shall I say, quarter of the way there. Maybe not. But all I know is every time I spend time with Jesus, I'm better than I was before. Hello? Isn't that the way it works? So you are complete in Christ, and yet there's always more of Christ than you presently know or that I will ever know. I want you to think about this. You see, I was talking to Derry about it. I said, you have arrived, but you haven't arrived yet. You know, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Does it make, you have everything you need, but you don't have it yet. But what you have right now is enough, but you need more, okay? So how is that possible? Well, that's what the scripture teaches. You just look at it. So for example, that in the dispensation, okay, here we go. This is Ephesians 1 verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. And then we read in Colossians 1, 27 to 29, to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man in Christ Jesus. To this end we labor, striving according to his working, which works mightily in me mightily. So what's Paul saying? You have this truth, but yet you need this truth. You have the Christ in you, but yet you need Christ in you. So what's the story here? You know, I mean, how does this work? So as Christ's followers, like his disciples of old, here's the truth. Did they have Christ with them? Yes, they did. Eventually they had Christ in him. And they continued with. But if you follow his disciples, just think about this. This is true of any growing relationship. We learn more about him as we continue with him. Does that make sense? Yeah, this is true of, like I said, any growing relationship. Consider how the disciples discovered more and more about Jesus, and think about how you discovered more and more about him. They continued with them. The water turned to wine. The paralytic let down through the roof is healed. The woman caught in adultery is not stoned, but forgiven. The questions in their time together following his teachings. Lord, why did you say that? What happened here? Do you think maybe that when you read some teachings, you might take the same approach? You don't understand it. Why did you say that? What does it mean that the kingdom is coming? What does it mean that this is happening or that's happening? Have the conversation with him and wait on him. He'll reveal you what you need to know. So therefore, Paul, what I'm saying is, as they're following his teachings in all his interactions with Paul, there comes a revelation upon revelation. More and more of Christ, they're learning more about him. What's this? He walks on water. He calms the sea. See, this Jesus is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as he's getting bigger and bigger, you understand that he's in you and that there's nothing impossible for them. So, therefore, Paul labors to present every man as perfect or complete, and we should do the same. We should do the same with our children. We should do the same with our friends. We should do the same with ourselves. Labor to do that. Make the effort. So how does one enter into a deeper life in the Spirit? Where do you begin? How do you begin? You're sitting here today, or you're listening on the radio, or you're watching this on YouTube, but how do you get from where you are to where you're going? That's always the problem, isn't it? You know, it just reminds me, it just came to my mind. Daddy, are we there yet? Driving in the car with the kids. Daddy, are we there yet? Now we're almost there. When are we going to be there, Daddy? Don't worry, we're getting there. They fall asleep eventually, you know. And then of course my grandson. Why are we staying here like this? And I said, well, we're in traffic. Oh, that traffic thing. Pretty cute, actually. Yeah. So how does one begin to enter into that? At times, this is. When I'm growing in Christ, I would struggle with this. If you're a younger Christian, maybe you struggle with it too, or you're still struggling with it. It seems it's impossible. And don't overthink what I'm saying here. I don't want you to overthink it because I want to keep it simple for everybody here. But it seems impossible to be the person, the mother, the father, the friend, the sister, the brother, the neighbor that Christ called us to be. So what do we do? We don't measure up. Have you ever had a bout with yourself that you don't measure up? Anybody here? Come on, be honest. I want to see you honestly out here. Look at it. All these people have made it all by themselves. Look at this. That's better. Truth be known there. God's watching. I just want you to know that. He knows what's going on here. So listen, as you go through this, I find out that I do the best that I can do, but my best is not good enough. It doesn't make it. And that's disappointing. I don't like to fail. I like to fail. So apart from Christ, what we have to understand is this. All that we can do will always lack. Why is that? Because we were created to walk with Christ, not by ourselves. Every time you make your own effort to be the person you can put on the act, You know, you can be on the stage, but that doesn't change you. That's an act. What we need is the change. So what I'm saying to you is everything that we do in our own strength is just wasted. You need to understand how this works. It's very simple. But God created you to be related to him in relationship and for him to dwell inside of you. Apart from Christ, mankind cannot be understood. It's nothing but a fallen race. But when Christ comes into the picture, then the glory of man can be seen in the reflection of Christ in him and out through him. We begin to see what God had planned from us from the beginning, rather than the old self that is always selfish and self-centered and complaining about this and complaining about that. No, we now become a new creature, new creation in Christ. But that new creation has got to develop and grow. Every parent here, every single parent here has been entrusted with a child. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a parent, right? But not only that, now God claims ownership of that child. Not only that, he's going to hold you accountable for that child. Be serious. And you'll do the best that you know how to do. And you're going to make some mistakes. With Christ, it's always going to be. I guarantee that. He'll give you wisdom. May not be perfect, but you're going to be. So let me say this. Here is the answer to, we need, apart from Christ, we are not what God intended, nor can we be what God called. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. I'm going to read 6 through 10. Put it up on the screen there, if you will, and we're going to leave it up there, okay? As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. Walk ye in him. I wound up with King James here. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let's break it down. In a short, direct verse, God points the way to all we can be. And I want to take you someplace right now. I don't have much time. I'm going to kind of take you out of the message, as a matter of fact, for a moment. Here's the verse. The way forward, by grace through faith, by day. I want you to think about when you first came. I want you to think about how that happened. I want you to go back and think about, you heard the word, somebody shared something, something stirred in your heart a little bit. You got to thinking about it a little. Then suddenly, I was feeling something, so to speak. And then the next thing you know, you're gonna, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. That Christ is the Savior. And then finally, it comes to that place where you ask God to forgive you. You ask Jesus into you. And on that day, the Spirit of God comes on you and you become a brand new person. In a way, coming to that place to begin with. Some of us come from backgrounds. We've been in churches. We went to church, did this, we did that. And although we did all that and we sang songs, did whatever it was that they told us to do, we never knew him. And now suddenly somebody comes along and says, wait a minute, you don't have to do all of that. Hard to believe on him. And you struggle because you've learned to say, I'm an idiot, that for 30 years I did the wrong thing. You know, it reminds me of the story of St. Gregory. I'll make it very quick. St. Gregory was in a monastery, and he slept without his clothes on. Now, not completely naked, but pretty much. And he did so because he was in the cold, and he was suffering for Christ. He wanted to make up for the suffering. But then, at night, mosquitoes would come, and they would bite him. And so, he would smack the mosquitoes. Then he felt bad that he was smacking the mosquitoes. So, he had himself a pair of gloves made with wire in it, iron in it, so that when he smacked himself, he would cut himself. And he's going through all of this, and then Jesus shows up and says, Gregory, this is not necessary. Hello? Can you imagine this? He's doing this for years, and the Lord shows up, Gregory, no. And Gregory comes to Christ. And yet, he's dedicated his life to this, going the wrong way. Well, we have all had to make difficult decisions. Then finally, in verse 6, verse 7 says, as we continue in faith, but we become rooted in him. You can't root yourself in God. He roots you in him. All you do is you continue walking with him. And as you continue to walk in him, you're receiving like a branch on the vine. You're getting rooted in him because he's feeding you and you're bearing fruit. It's part of a relationship. Think about your marriage. If you got a halfway decent marriage and you come along, there was a pastor out in, I mentioned him a couple of times out west of here a bit. And I said to him one day, nice guy, smart guy. I said, when you met your wife, we were sitting together, Derry and I and he and his wife. And I said, did you? And he said this to me. He says, as I understood love to be. Do you know? When he said that, I knew exactly what he was saying. Do you know what he was saying? He was saying, yes, I loved her. But now I really love her. Well, what's happened is we're learning and we're growing. You take your child, for example. You take your friend. How do you get to know if a kid, you're going to be with some friends, are they any good? Do you want to hang out with them? You are hanging with them for a while, and you begin to learn their character. I enjoy so much learning about my children, especially the younger ones, which I had more time because I was working from home at the time. And then being with them and watching them grow and watching their character develop and seeing what they were made of or not made of. The only thing I found ugly in them was me. Hello? You all know what I mean? Not me, but I mean the bad things in me. I found that sometimes they kind of picked that. And that was some things that I had to get out of me then into them. So very simple. So let me close this down finally. So as we continue in faith, we get rooted in him. And then just remember this. You're drawing on the Lord all the time. And as you do, he's establishing you, him, and he's establishing his character in you. Verse 8, I would say this, on your journey, there's always people coming along that got a better way. And they're going to tell you, well, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. To Jesus, as you began in him, And they try to draw us away your faith. People come, and you know, we're talking about a number of things here, but all I want to say is that they'll convince you of one thing or another. I know people that don't believe that a Christian can be oppressed by a demon. Now, a Christian can't be possessed, but the word possessed never is used in the Bible. And yet there's times where, like that woman who's bent over double, we don't know how that spirit got into her and injured her, but the fact is she had to be set free. And again, they will attempt to draw you into the traditions of men and principles of. If Christ dwells in you and the fullness of Godhead bodily dwells in him, it's the true vine that gives you what you need. He has all you need. You need to rest in him. Verse 10 says you're complete, and he is the head of all principality and power. And he is in you, and above you, he's around you, you're never without God. And then finally, God's given us all we need to bind and loose and to be all that he has called us to be. The idea of binding and loosing and exercising this authority, you want to exercise it in faith. And you want to recognize that God's going to do part, and then you will hear part. If I put it this way, as you continue with God, it's like a process. It keeps going. I don't have to do a whole bunch of new things with my wife to get to know her, so to speak, or my friend. But I hang out. If we hang out together and we talk together, we get the sense of what's going on. We draw closer together. Friendship is made to be shared. Relationships are made to be, we're made for relationships. That's what it's all about. It's not about a bunch of works, but we make an effort. So let me just say this. God did his part. We need to do our part. And then God will do more. And the process continues throughout life. You got it? God does his part. He calls us. We respond. And then God works in us. And we respond, and God works in us, and we respond, and it goes on and goes on, and it's simple. There we go. Got it. Okay. And then we'll go to one more scripture, and I'll leave this with you quickly, with just one verse. I have a bunch of verses here. But for now, this very reason also, and this is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3-5. For this very reason also, apply all diligence. In your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, and in your perseverance, God, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly. What he was teaching us here is that through these magnificent, seeing that in his divine, verse 3, in his divine power, he's granted us everything pertaining and godliness. And yet, through the true knowledge of him who called and exited. For by these promises, he's granted to us his precious and magnificent promise so that by them you might become partakers of the. Think about it. In your faith supply. You have it and you continue in it and you have more. You have it, you continue in it and you have more. And I will tell you throughout eternity, you'll never know, never come to know the fullness that is in Christ. Never. That's how he's God. Can you continue in your way today?